Hello all, before this episode begins, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the Podbeard Network's newest sponsor, SeatGiant. SeatGiant is a ticket selling website that lets you buy tickets for your favorite bands, concerts, sporting events, pretty much anything you can think of. They have competitive pricing, and I've used them myself. I went to a local minor league hockey game, and the seats were great, the ticket prices were great, and I had an excellent time there. So if you'd like to check them out, go to seatgiant.ca if you're in Canada, or seatgiant.com for the States, and at checkout, use the promo code PODBEARD, that's PODBEARD. Use the promo code PODBEARD at checkout, and you'll save a little bit, something extra too. On this episode of Still Loading, GoldenEye, it's just his eye. No, really, it's just his eye. Hello all and welcome back to this episode of Still Loading. For this week's episode, we are going to be talking about GoldenEye, but not the GoldenEye that you loved and remembered. No, the one that everyone hated, but actually isn't quite as bad as you might think it was. So for this week, I have invited my buddy John, who is not, he's a newcomer to the podcast. John, say hello.
Hello, I'm John. I'm new to the podcast.
So you're a big Bond fan.
Yes. Right, correct. So, movies and games.
So one thing I haven't really asked, because my buddy Justin has been on for the other episodes, as well as, on all the Bond episodes so far. And the one thing I haven't asked him is, like, how did you come to know our... not Lord and Savior, but, you know, promiscuator and adulterer James Bond. I don't know. How did you come to know James Bond?
I wish you didn't set it up like that, but it was my mom. She was a huge Bond fan.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, more so the Sean Connerys, but that got me started. And I think Goldfinger is still my favorite Bond movie.
It's a really good movie.
And I still love Dr. No. I could watch that a lot of times. I think I like them all. I even watched License to Kill a few weeks ago, and
holds up better than you think, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's that very truck, 80s. The truck chase at the end makes the whole movie worthwhile. It's so cool.
It's a really the thing with that one too is, like, they made that so 80s, not in a bad way, but, like, they have a Michael Kamen score for it, so, like, it's really. It was definitely reacting to Die Hard is the best way. Die Hard and Lethal Weapon and all those others. Mm. That's the one thing. So not to plug another podcast, but James Bonding, which is a much more popular podcast than this one, but definitely go check it out if you like James Bond movies. But they talk about how James Bond is such a reactionary series. Like, that what they do is they pick what's popular for the time and then they kind of subvert it for their own. So if you look at Moonraker, that came out the year after Star Wars.
Mm.
There you go. License to Kill was definitely a reaction to, like I said, oh my gosh, I just blanked all the names. Die Hard and Lethal Weapon and pretty much like Cobra.
The more kind of gritty action movies where it's more about kind of angst and not as much about King of the World James Bond just slaying wherever he goes, because he is kind of like the butt of a bunch of jokes in that one, and he's gonna, you know, Felix gets his leg ripped off.
His wife gets murdered. Not by sharks. Felix almost does. He gets his leg ripped off by sharks, and
he gets it back though.
Does he get it?
He's in GoldenEye, and he's got a leg. Right? Was that Felix or was that a different?
No,
character?
That's his name's Wade. Which is weird. He's played by Joe Don Baker, who was a villain in The Living Daylights just two movies prior.
That's funny.
So it's a really strange thing. No, that's funny though. So your mom got you into James Bond. So you're a fan of, like, the Sean Connerys. And I actually, who's your favorite Bond, I guess? Well, there's no wrong answer for this. I refuse to, any Bond fan who says there's a wrong answer is not a true Bond fan. Okay, maybe George Lazenby. But
I would have to say probably Sean Connery. Followed closely, and a lot of people might not agree with this, but followed closely by Pierce Brosnan because of GoldenEye.
I'm with you on that. No, I'm with... So, afterwards, I guess since to bring it back to Pierce, or to bring it to Pierce, we're talking about GoldenEye, but not the GoldenEye we all remember. It was like a weird sequel, spiritual sequel, but not really at
the same time. It was more like an alternate universe James Bond, which is so awesome in this age of everything's a sequel, everything's a remake, and nothing is original. So they took something original and just gave it a different spin.
Did you like Spectre? And speaking of like
sequels, I wish I told you this before we started recording, because I'm embarrassed to say it, but I actually haven't seen the Daniel Craig Bonds.
Okay.
I have them because I told you I've got the Blu-ray collection.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched them yet.
So definitely watch at least the first three. Spectre, you can skip.
that's what I heard.
I don't want to spoil why it's so bad, because it's kind of like, but let's just say this. I don't want to say anything. I'm not going to put any ideas in your head. Just let you go into it clean. Like, don't. Other than you know that I didn't like Spectre, I don't want you to get any ideas of like what specifically I had issues with. So, but you're right. What's cool about the GoldenEye remake, it's literally called GoldenEye, but it's all one word, but they capitalize the E in it in GoldenEye because it's supposed to be two things. You play...
Well, it's GoldenEye : Rogue Agent.
Correct. GoldenEye Rogue Agent. Mm-hmm. I probably should have said that in the beginning because that's the actual title of the game. I just kept saying GoldenEye. So I probably confused the crap out of a bunch of people. No, so what made GoldenEye Rogue Agent so interesting was the fact that you play as an MI6 agent, but not James Bond. And in fact, in the opening mission, you are in like a, you find out later you're in a hologram or like just a holo mission, a VR mission. And James Bond dies in it, and you get...
Which is, it's the assault on Goldfinger's...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of spoilers. So it's the end of the Goldfinger movie where the army is rappelling down. But it's the Pierce Brosnan James Bond, which is really funny.
I don't even know if it was... I think it meant to be. So that's what's weird about Bond in this era is like... Or Bond games specifically. So like Agent Under Fire, for example, that wasn't Pierce Brosnan. It was, they couldn't get the likeness to Pierce Brosnan.
That's why it was just a silhouette on the cover.
Well, when you see him in the game, it's voiced by someone completely different. I forget the dude's name. In my Agent Under Fire.
Well, that's why Nightfire, they made such a huge deal that it was Pierce Brosnan. It was like starring Pierce. It was really good.
And then they did the same thing with Everything or Nothing, which is actually the name of the production studio, which I always think is Eon Productions.
And that was actually a really good one, too. That
was a third-person shooter, which was not a departure.
I was skeptical.
Tomorrow Never Dies did a third-person as well. I'm eventually going to cover that, too. Like I said, this is... I'm covering all the Bond games. That is the plan. Old and new. I haven't covered any new ones. Like, I really want to play... I've beaten it already, but it's been a while. The Bloodstone, which was a Daniel... Mm-hmm. It was referenced off Daniel Craig, but it's an original story. And it was the last one, I think, to do an original story. I think.
Not to Bunny Trail, but did you play the remake of GoldenEye?
I like that phrase. No, I did not. I never heard Bunny Trail. No, I have not played the remake of GoldenEye. Was it okay?
I played the first level, and it was really interesting because it was as if they made GoldenEye today. So Daniel Craig's James Bond, instead of KGB, it's just Russian terrorists.
Okay.
But it's like KGB. Modern weapons and modern uniforms and... The beginning of the game, I'm assuming you know GoldenEye, the original N64 game pretty well. It's got the same sweeping motion down to him at the entrance to the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it gets in close, that's a soldier, and it goes up, and he's above the soldier. It was just a cool little nod to the original game.
I like that. Kind of what they did through this whole game, it was like small nods to the series, or in that instance, it was just a nod to the game.
Yeah, this game was a nod to James Bond.
If I, for all you Bond fans out there, if I were to tell you that there was a game, a James Bond game, that had Goldfinger, Dr. No, Ernst Stavro Blofeld, M, of course, Francisco Scaramanga, Pussy Galore, I hate that name. I feel so awkward every time I say it.
You should.
Xenia Onatopp, which is not as bad as a double entendre, Oddjob, and of course James Bond in it, would you love that game? I would argue you would.
Mm-hmm. And you should, because it's actually
not that bad.
Good. Yeah.
I didn't like the controls that much, in all honesty. I thought the controls were a little stiff. Like it was hard for me to get the accuracy down. I had to up the look sensitivity for the X. I hate games that make you up the individual X and Y axis look sensitivity. But I guess it's kind of nice for people if they like it slow, moving up and down and fast left and right.
Yeah, which like is strange for people to who want to die more often, yeah, it's probably a great idea. I told you this before we started, but I told you I was going to play because I haven't played this game since like when it was new, I guess. But then I didn't because I wanted to do the podcast remembering it how I remember it, not watching it and playing a dated game and thinking, oh, it's not as good as I remember it. So I remember it, the graphics. It wasn't like groundbreaking, but it was good.
It wasn't bad at all.
It was good graphics. I remember the controls. They weren't like Halo, but they weren't terrible.
They were just stiff to me. Like, it was always really hard to feel like I was actually controlling the agent. But you're right. The graphics were actually pretty appealing. I like the fact that you could dual wield weapons, which was like almost a kind of how Bond movies are a reaction to what's happening. That was almost a reaction to Halo, like Halo 2.
Well, you could do that in the original GoldenEye.
Could
game.
You?
Yeah, with a few of them.
Yeah,
weapons.
You're right. I completely forgot. The clobs. I always remember the clobs.
Yeah.
Those ridiculous guns.
They were horrible. I think it was called the Tornado.
Mm-hmm.
And then the DMC, although I might be confusing it with my favorite game, Perfect Dark, but there were a couple guns where they were just, you would decimate with them.
I mean, it just did the episode like a couple months ago, but it's been I played that game so much as a kid, like the original GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remembered I didn't play Rogue Agent because everyone panned it so much. Like, everyone said mm-hmm. how awful it was. And I was kind of bummed out by that because, like, I always loved the Bond games. But what's cool about this one is the fact that you play as an evil, like mm-hmm. an MI6 agent that went defective. Oh, you haven't seen Skyfall. Never mind. I can't make this connection. Damn it.
Sorry.
Skyfall, for those who do know, I theorize that Skyfall or the agent you play in this is actually Javier Bardem's character in Skyfall. I know it's not, but that would be really cool if they ever linked that together. In any case, but you play as an agent who went rogue because he's pissed off at MI6 for saying you're not fit for duty, which I still like after playing that like intro mission of like the whole VR thing. I kind of understand why he's mad because like they're flying in a helicopter. The helicopter gets shot down and he gets out and he's looking for Bond. The helicopter explodes and kills Bond. And M's like, it's your fault. You did this. And he's like, I just did a helicopter that got shot down. I didn't even fly the damn thing.
Fire the pellet, the pilot.
Seriously. So I understand it. Like, he didn't do anything. He just stood there. And all of a sudden he got, castrated practically by M. But so that's not the right word. But
whatever castrated is when it's just one eye.
Yeah. Well, no, because he lost it. So the reason why it's even called GoldenEye is because your character has literally a golden eye. He loses his eye to Dr. No off screen, off game, whatever, like prior to the beginning of the game. So he only has one eye even during that like intro mission. But after he goes rogue, he has a message from Goldfinger saying, hey, come join me. And he replaces his eye with an actual golden eye since, you know, Goldfinger's obsessed with gold. And that's how he gets his name. And this is the part I had a beef with in terms of canon. Apparently I was reading online because I didn't play this a lot, like I said. There's a lot of people who were mad about the canon of the game.
Oh, jeez. It's not canon at all.
Well, they were mad because it killed off characters.
That's what I loved about it. That's what I mean. It deviates from... We all know the story. Like, and this is a way to get a new James Bond story with characters you know. It's like...
No,
I
agree.
It's like... they're doing this with lots of... like Injustice, mm-hmm. you know?
Well,
Archie.
the only issue I had with the canon, it had nothing to do with characters getting killed off because it's a whole totally fictional world. But the thing is, though, is that they kept the characters the same character. They just said, well, what would happen if they interacted?
Right.
And that's great. Scaramanga is the guy, Francisco Scaramanga, third nipple man from The Man with the Golden Gun, is the man who is the tech guy. He's the Q of the game. For Goldfinger, like they work together, which is cool. Like, I love the idea that villains can work together, but like, Scaramanga is not a tech guy, he's an assassin. He's an assassin from the movie. And in fact, if you watch The Man with the Golden Gun, this is so nerdy that I'm like nitpicking this, but like, Bond explains to him how solar energy works. A man who doesn't understand solar energy figures out how to program a golden eye and stick it in what's-his-face's
eye. Well, again, this is an alternate universe of James Bond, so maybe in this universe... But why is
Goldfinger the same and Dr. No the same?
Goldfinger's alive.
Well, they're all alive. Like, I get that, but like, if you're going to bring them all back just to have the character be nothing like...
No, I see what you're saying. It's like... I'm a huge Fast and Furious fan.
Oh my! We're gonna talk about that off. Oh, mic.
Good. Awesome. I love everything about it. There's nothing I dislike.
But ironic guilty pleasure for me. Yeah. At the same time. Go on.
But when they randomly made Ludacris's character the
hacker.
Yeah. It's like, where did that come from? And then they bring that up. It does. Which is why I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, sometimes you just gotta make someone the nerd.
Yeah.
And even Paul Walker is like, he says it to him one time. He's like, so where'd you learn all this? And he goes, well, I had a life before you knew me. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love that movie so much.
Say, all right, that's all the explanation we need.
They explain it away.
So he was a hacker and then he was a street racer and then he became a hacker again.
I guess what's, but no, that's a good point. And like, overall, that's honestly the only issue I had with that's the only issue I had with canon. Like, that was literally it, and that was nitpicking. Like, and I didn't play all the way through the game, but I did read through the plot, and the plot was kind of fascinating, in all honesty. So you play as, does it even give your dude a name? I don't even know. So your dude, we'll just name him Goldeneye, just as, I guess that's what they call him. And he loses his eye to Dr. No. Goldfinger and apparently Dr. No are fighting each other. They're rivals against each other.
Yeah.
Which I think is an awesome idea. Yeah. Like, villains fight, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's a great idea for a Bond, universe or whatever. So he accepts Goldfinger's offer, and I laughed at this because this is one of the cutscenes I saw. So Goldfinger is having his scientists develop a weapon known as the Omen, or the Organic Mass Energy Neutralizer, which is capable of breaking down. And this is what's funny, because I'm reading this off of Wikipedia. It's not a direct quote from the game, but I remember him saying something pretty almost exactly this. He says, breaking down organic matter on a nearly atomic level. What's nearly atomic? Like, what would that level be? Like, yeah. Is that just like a half step up? Is it like just a half note up on the atomic scale? Like, what does that mean?
It means James Bond, don't question.
I guess so. I just,
we had to find an acronym, and that fit.
That didn't make me mad. It's not like, once again, not complaining about like any like canon issues. I just thought that was a funny description. Yeah. Like, it nearly organic level or nearly atomic level. I'm like, well, what is that? Explain that to me. Go on, Goldfinger. I know you can. But no, so he makes the Omen, which is supposed to result in the disintegration of organic matter on a nearly atomic level. And he's doing this for his job of eliminating Dr. No, a fellow official in the criminal organization. Criminalization was declared war on Goldfinger's branch of organization. I didn't get this. They don't call it Spectre because they didn't have rights to Spectre at the time. But it's Spectre because Ernst Stavro Blofeld's in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally branches of Spectre warring on each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fucking great idea. Sorry. That's a great idea. I didn't see that. Notice that was supposed to be like two branches of Spectre fighting each other. Yeah. That's a great idea. By the way, what do you think of that acronym? Spectre? Do you know what it's actually, how it's broken down?
What is it?
Special Executive for Counterterrorism Revenge Extortion.
I love it.
So special is the SP inspector. So they took two letters for the first word. Then Special Executive for Counterterrorism, which is one word, but they split it up into two letters. It's a hyphenated word if you want to count it. And Revenge and Extortion is fine.
They had too many hackers, not enough English teachers, I guess.
Boris, I could picture that.
Oddjob's the only one that knows, but he doesn't talk, so he couldn't get the point across.
In that opening mission, in the VR mission, you don't see Oddjob, but you see his hat fly off and kill a bunch of guys. God, that was such a good idea. Like, this had such great, like, there were so many good ideas on this. It just, the implementation, I don't think, was 100% perfect. Like, no game, I guess, is 100% perfect. But
I wish I checked before, but I bet you it came out alongside a bigger title, too. because it really is a worthwhile game. I remember when I got it, I went in, and that's when original Xbox was the system.
Yeah.
And I was in high school, I guess, and I had played every first-person shooter ever except for this. And I go in and I'm like, you know, I've played everything, but I want to play a new first-person shooter. Can you recommend anything? I asked the guy at GameStop, if you could believe that. And he asked me if I ever played that, and I was like, no. Nah. And he was like, well, if you didn't play anything else, you can try this one out. I was like, all right, it probably sucks. And I played it, and I was like, this is really fun. And I know you said you only played the first level, but if I remember correctly, I don't know if it's every other level, but incrementally your eye gets upgraded.
Yeah.
And you get the first more powers. Mission,
the first power I got is that you can see through walls to a short degree. And they give you a gun that lets you shoot through walls.
The rail gun, really cool. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, I guess, it was called a rail. No, the reason I was... So while you were telling your story, I was like reading some more on Wikipedia. This is like the James Bond geek in me geeked out a little bit. So... The game was developed using a modified version of the Medal of Honor engine. I'm a huge Medal of Honor fan, so that's kind of cool to me. But the Bond geek part that freaked me out is Ken Adam, who was the production designer of the Bond movies through the 60s and 70s. So all of Connery's and a small chunk of Moore's was the production designer for the game. I don't know if he worked I don't know if that means... Oh, no. Adam worked on several level designs that were based on locations in earlier Bond films.
That's really cool.
That's amazing. That's really cool. I had no idea. So Ken Adam, for those who have seen the Bond films, he's responsible for the look and feel that you all know. Like, kind of like, you know, just, you know, for those who don't know what a production designer is, they're the person that makes your sets, essentially, like helps you find locations and make sets. So for those, and he also designs a lot of the look and feel. So if you notice a lot of like old Bond movies, none of the walls are really like perfect 90 degree angles in a lot of places. There's a lot of odd angled walls. And in Dr. No, he's responsible for... like for those who've seen Dr. No, there's a really iconic shot of one of the henchmen, Professor Dent, goes to meet the villain of the movie, Dr. No, and he's in this room and it's just a table and you see this giant shadow of a grated window that's like expanded out onto the floor, and it's this really like starkly contrasted like shot. It looks really fantastic. I mean, visually, it looks amazing. Conceptually, it doesn't make any sense because it's literally just a room with a table in it and a chair off in one corner, and then there's a tarantula in a cage on the table, and that's it. That's the entire purpose of the room, for him to talk to the bad guy and get a tarantula. So it doesn't make any sense, but it looks really freaking cool. So Ken Adam did the set designs for a lot of the James Bond movies, and his set designs are pretty iconic. He's also the guy that would have worked on, like, for those who saw You Only Live Twice, he did the volcano lair.
That was a good one too.
That was a really cool setting. So like I said, big Bond fan, geeked out hardcore on that. That was awesome.
And speaking of Sean Connery, you probably know this, but from Russia with Love, the game, he did the voice for that.
That's really cool. Yeah. I'm excited to actually when I did the Agent Under Fire episode a couple weeks ago, I actually got to play through the whole game. This one I didn't have as much time.
It's not a long game. If you're on the edge about playing it,
it's not short, but it's not
like BioShock.
But yeah. That's like a 30-hour game. Right?
Yeah.
I don't remember. It's been a while since I played it.
But yeah, from Russia with Love, I remember playing through that and really liking it. They had some goofy animations, especially when he walked slowly. He would never like stride. He would just kind of like he was sneaking, but it was like it was really funny. You got to play the game and make him walk slow. It looks funny.
I actually have two copies of the game, one on PS2, one on the original Xbox. So I can play it two different ways if I want to. That's the life of a collector, my friend.
But I went back and played that. I don't know when, but way after I beat it, expecting to be blown away again, I guess. And it didn't hold up as well as I remember.
From Russia with Love,
did it? Yeah, yeah. And I think it was the controls, because it was a little weird. It was third person and not as smooth as they are now.
I could see that. I mean, that's the experience I ran into with GoldenEye, Rogue Agent. It's just because, like, the controls were actually pretty fine. Like, they were a little weird because it's, like, not the 100% the modern shooter sensibility. Mm-hmm. But, like, I like that you could dual wield. I like that you could dual wield with, like, a machine gun, like an Uzi type thing, and, like, this hand shotgun and just, like, blow enemies away with it. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
The game itself was, like, the gameplay itself was fine. It was fun enough that I would have kept playing it. I just, the setting, man, I just can't get over that. Like, that's just such a great idea for a setting. Like,
yeah, it kills me that each level is iconic. If I remember correctly, the last level is Dr. No's headquarters.
If anything, what they should have done is done something like 007 presents Rogue Agent or something like that. Like, it, no, seriously.
Which,
like,
would open up a whole sub-level of other offshoots like that, which would be awesome.
But because they named it GoldenEye, people came in with this expectation that it was going to be some
GoldenEye sequel. Was probably the biggest problem. They take the biggest game, almost like first-person shooter of all time, really,
and set it up like a sequel. Came out since then, but
True. But then they make it completely unrelated. Like, completely unrelated.
Xenia on a top's in it. I mean, as far as... That's about it. Yeah, it's the only connection.
I mean, it's a Bond game. It's a, you know, first-person shooter, but that's about it.
It's a great idea. Now, the plot of it, like, there's a handful of missions. Well, as with every first-person shooter, I guess that's kind of redundant to say. But, like, I was reading the plot through Wikipedia, and it just doesn't... I would say, like, unless it's just the way the Wikipedia article is written, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, you know, he joins Goldfinger. I was about to say Goldmember from Austin Powers. Goldfinger. Gets his cybernetic eye, the gold-hued cybernetic eye, hence GoldenEye.
Which is a perfect Bond villain of golden-eyed
bad guy. It's a great idea. Yeah. But he gets it from Francisco Scaramanga, who works for Goldfinger. And he gets MRI vision, as they call it, which I get it, but it's kind of a lame name. During his first mission in Hong Kong, GoldenEye gets... They just call him GoldenEye. GoldenEye has to get a sniper to take out down Dr. No with a hack feature and blah, blah, blah. But it just... He literally just tells him, like... Because after he says he's in mission in Hong Kong to get a sniper rifle to take down Dr. No. At the Midas Casino, GoldenEye has to get to the vault to protect Omen with the magnetic polarity shield. What? Why? When did that happen? We were just taking out Dr. No, and now he has to protect Omen or whatever. And the next mission takes place at the Hoover Dam. Okay, cool. So I think it's just the Wikipedia article. In all honesty, I don't think it's explaining the plot all that well, because it's just jumping from set piece to set piece.
I mean, that's kind of what... The game was kind of an homage to the James Bond franchise, so it wasn't a super tight story.
Oh, Odd Job betrays you at the Hoover Dam, apparently, as you're fighting Xenia on a top. And then, yeah, and at the Octopus, I don't know what that means, GoldenEye has to download navigation coordinates to Crab Key, which is a location in the Dr. No movie, for Dr. No.
Yeah.
And then you go fight Dr. No and whatnot. But no, I was pleasantly surprised by this. Like, because when you were messaging me about wanting to do an episode and cover a Bond game, we had a couple. We were talking about Nightfire, but I'm trying to, like, I promised my friend on that, another friend on that one already. I'll have you on it. It's like because I want to have I like the group episodes. Like, I love, like, I have four microphones, so hopefully I can have up to four people.
We should do a podcast while we do a multiplayer.
That would be fun. I've recorded while playing sometimes, and it's not difficult, but it's like, some of my older episodes, some listeners may remember, what I would do is I would have the guest that I would have on, I would record us playing the game, but it would be like we were far away from, like, it wasn't meant to be good sound quality. It was just meant to use as, like, interstitial. So what would happen is whatever we were talking about, I would then cut to a sound clip of what we said when we were playing it. And I liked that. But then I realized I'm lazy, and it's like, it was like, not all the clips were always good. So, and I don't have the time to spend like six hours editing. Like, even if the podcast was like 30 or 40 minutes, it would have taken me so long to find the clips needed.
It's hard to do just audio when you're playing video games anyway, because you get, you know, you can't see what you're doing. I actually played that over winter break though.
Yeah.
Nightfire.
Nightfire?
Yeah. Yeah. The multiplayer.
It still holds up.
It does. It really does. It's so fun. It's so fun.
Nightfire is like one of those, like, I also, what I love about it, I don't want to go into, you know what, no, I'm not going to say what I love about it. I'm going to save it for the episode. I got to save I'll never that know. For the content. I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
Is there anything more that we really have to say on
I don't think there was was there a multiplayer?
I think, no, there was. I mean, it's GoldenEye. There has to be a multiplayer.
Maybe that's why it didn't do well.
No, hold on. Let me check. Cause I couldn't really play too much. See what year
it came out too. Cause
yeah, I'll look that up right now. Hold on. No, I'm 99% sure there was multiplayer.
If there was, I didn't play it.
Came out originally in North America for all three of the consoles, GameCube, PS2, and Xbox, on November 22nd, 2004. So this is actually the 15th anniversary of it. Not the time we're recording this or the time it's being released, but, you know, in November later this year, it's the 15th anniversary of this. It was then released... Oh, no, there is multiplayer on it. I just see it.
Oh, right. Wait, was that Halo 2? 2004?
Yes, it might have been.
Because Halo 3 was 2007. Halo 1 was like 2001 or 2. Yeah.
What's even weirder, though, is that this was released on the DS in 2005.
Just what we were all waiting for.
I have a strange fascination in my collection of finding games that don't belong on handheld consoles. I have Nightfire for the Game Boy Advance.
Wow, I didn't know that came out.
Yeah, I didn't either. I have it boxed, too. I think I have it complete in box. I had to get it, though, because I was like... Why would this exist? Like,
another good one is they did Splinter Cell on Game Boy Advance. They? Yeah.
What?
I think it was around Chaos Theory or maybe Pandora Tomorrow. But yeah, I can't imagine that was any good.
I also have a copy of, not in the box, but of Medal of Honor Underground on the Game Boy Advance.
Underground, yeah.
Yeah, I loved that game, but it was... Because
that's where the game belongs.
Halo 2 came out in 2004. That's probably what... And... Literally 11 days. November 9th,
yeah, that's what killed it.
That killed it. That's definitely what killed it. I think it was 13 days because November 22nd, November 9th. If I'm mathing
November
correctly.
9th, yes, I remember that day so well.
I remember that because I was in high school and so many people called out that day. In my computer programming class, so many kids called out.
Well, we went to a Christian school, so we were too obedient to call out, but we were all like zombies the next day. But we also weren't allowed to say zombies, so we were all just really tired.
Wait, really? We weren't allowed?
I don't know. It's a very legalistic conservative school.
Okay. Never mind. I'll tell you later. All right. So is there any final words on it, though? I feel like we talked about the controls. We talked about... The music was kind of bland. We didn't talk about the music. I did see, like, there was, like, a DJ. I forget the dude's name, but there was a DJ who wrote the music for it. So it felt very... Best way I can describe it is like early 2000s action movie, like really kind of like almost like techno, like
yeah, like all generic games. I guess like if you're a James Bond fan and this one slipped through the cracks and you're on the fence about it, I would definitely still recommend
it. I think retro in it from a Haven't retroactively
played it 15 years ago,
and like well, but like from a retro, like a retroactively playing it, like and like looking back at it. I think it's much better now than it probably was then. Obviously, the critical reception shows that. But two, it's because, like, if you're a James Bond fan and you haven't played this, this is like a like your dream mashup. Like, it's something that you've always wanted to see what it was like, and someone finally did it. Like, so even if it's not perfect, I admire the balls they had to, like, do something so different. Like, even take out that it was James Bond. You do this type of idea in any series, and it's a ballsy thing to do because you're completely warped. Like, it's not a game in canon. You're completely...
It's like a what-if comic.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's a what-if comic. That's a perfect analogy.
Thank you.
But yeah, do you have any final thoughts on it?
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's definitely playable. Like a lot of games back then, before they kind of finally crafted gameplay in general, someone would try something new and it would be unplayable. Mm-hmm. But this one's definitely playable.
They took a tried and true concept, gameplay, I should say, gameplay style, and then turned it into something completely original.
And the gimmick, which was the eye, was... something you would actually use. I'm playing through Wolfenstein the New Order right now, and I love the Wolfenstein games, and this is fun too, but some of the gimmicks are so annoying, like the one gun that you use to like break chains and stuff. It constantly wants you to switch back to that game or that gun, and you rarely use it for, like
for
it,
anything else other than
it can kill people, but it runs out of batteries really fast.
Okay.
So, yeah, the gimmicks, the game's fun. The gimmicks I'm not a huge fan of, but the GoldenEye, it really gives you an edge that gets better and better as you progress in the game.
It was definitely like a trend then, too. There was a lot of like, I think it was definitely partially a response to Halo in a sense. I know it came out at the same time as Halo 2, but like just the cyber soldier, like, you know, Master Chief mm-hmm. was like this, you know, you have the HUD, the heads or yeah. the heads up display or whatever, it has everything. And this is when games started working the HUDs to actually make sense into the story. Into yeah. like the character, so like there's a reason for you having it, not just it existing. Or they play it off as like, if you ever play Sunset Overdrive on the Xbox One.
I have it. I have
definitely tried
it. I just got the Xbox One, so I'm still catching up.
They pretty much like they break the fourth wall with the HUD. Like they turn it into a joke. They're like, oh, look at that down there. That's where your ammo is at. Like, how about that? I wonder why it's down on. You know, they don't. It's not that bad, but it's they kind of play it more coy. But all right. I guess to wrap this all up, go try it. Give it a shot. So, definitely. John, do you have any plugs? You want to plug anything? Anything, any social media things or anything you're working on?
I make videos, so if you're into dark humor or zombies, look me up.
That's a great plug, John.
My web series is Poor Guy. My movie is Atomic Zombies.
What
if you play channel? Town of Salem, I don't know. It's on there somewhere.
You don't know the YouTube channel? You just Google Poor Guy. Not Google. Go to YouTube and search Poor Guy.
Yeah.
As vague as that sounds, that's an actual YouTube series. Yeah,
I should have kept my YouTube channels the same one, but I made Poor Guy a separate channel. But if you search Poor Guy, it's the first thing to come up, and then you can find my other channel, which is just called John, which is why like I can't say search John on YouTube.
Yeah, because that's going to be everywhere. Yeah, I literally just did this on my phone. You have 4,800 subscribers. That's not bad. So yeah, check that out on YouTube. Any social media stuff you want to plug or nah?
Sure. Twitter or Instagram, I'm JOHNMCK. John.
As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can also reach out to me, StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. Please remember to rate and review and to subscribe to the show on iTunes or whatever podcatcher device you use. It does help me out. And I actually got a couple reviews in from some people with some really good, some nice constructive criticism. I'm not going to say any names or anything like that, but it honestly meant a lot to me to read that. So thank you for the people who did write. And so some quick shout outs. Shout out to everyone else on the Podbeard Network that I'm a part of. So Two Guys in a Game, when hopefully they come back soon. The Hotter Show, Creeper Sleep, Honestly Lazy, Boystick, Dark Runner Gaming, all great people. Go check stuff. Dark Runner Gaming is a Twitch streamer, Boystick's a YouTuber. Everyone else's podcast, so go check them all out. Also, shout out to my friend Eric at the Apex and the Abyss, another great true crime podcast. Friends over at the No Geeks Allowed podcast. That's KNOW, No Geeks Allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's how could I forget? He always gives me shit every time I forget to give him a shout out. My friend Josh over at Firespin Gaming on YouTube. If you like game hunting videos, go check his stuff out. He does a lot of great stuff. And I don't know if he's posted a video recently, but definitely go check out his channel. He finds a lot of great stuff. I've said it before in other episodes. He found Earthbound for like a crazy cheap price. And apparently I keep getting the price wrong. So I'm not going to try to guess, remember what it is, but go check out his stuff. I can tell you this, it was under $10.
You know, my other channel, if the zombie thing, if you search Atomic Zombies, the whole movie's up there. It's. I was telling Josh, I've learned much since then, but it's a full movie, it's free to watch, and working on the sequel now, which is going to be like mad Nazi scientists and cyborgs, and it's going to be really fun.
I'm excited.
If you want to be a part of it, reach out to me, because I'm always looking for help.
There you go. So that should wrap it up, everyone. And thank you all for listening. And I will see you all next time.